May 17, 2005. This is the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. And we have three work sessions that need to be conducted today. The first relates to House Bill 5110, Psychiatric Security Review Board. We now begin that work session and turn time to Deborah Manthey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 5110 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. We'll, if it's okay with you, we'll use the same process we used yesterday, and I'll briefly go through the adjustments to the governor's budget. The first adjustment is our technical adjustment package number 801, and this reduces the budget by $5,100 general fund to reflect PERS and attorney general rate reductions. We've also got a couple line item shifts more closely align the budget with current spending patterns, and I've detailed those for you in the memo. Package 802 reduces the budget by $5,658 general fund to reflect the 3% across the board services and supplies reduction. There are two policy packages in this budget. Package 090 reduces the agency's budget for smart buy savings and for current biennium underspending, recommending approval of that package. Package 101 is for caseload growth. It's a staff increase. It establishes an administrative specialist two position due to caseload growth. Caseload has increased 27% between years 2000 and 2004, and in addition, the number of clients on conditional release has increased 25%. The board's current staffing has been in place since 1988. Approval of this package will improve performance measure number one results by providing adequate resources to more closely and proactively monitor clients' progress, enabling intervention when appropriate to offer technical assistance and guidance which may avert trouble. Performance measure targets have been adjusted accordingly. We're recommending approval of this package. We have made some slight changes to the dollar amount. We're phasing the position in January of 2006 as opposed to July 1, 2005. We've adjusted for the PERS rate reduction, and we've also reduced services and supplies by $8,750. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a general fund budget of $831,421, another funds budget of $2,000 for a total funds budget of $833,421, five positions, 4.75 FTE, and that House Bill 5110 be amended accordingly.
The chair would entertain a motion to accept LFO recommendations.
I make a motion, Mr. Chair, that we approve the LFO recommendation with the amendments for the Psychiatric Security Review Board, House Bill 5110.
Okay, Representative Wisenant moves that LFO's recommendations be an amendment to House Bill 5110. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, amendments are now part of 5110.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on to performance measures, the agency submitted four performance measures. Where after discussion during public hearing, we're recommending that one be deleted but kept internally. That's measure number three, the percent of conditional release reports received on time. The discussion around this measure was that the board really had no control over when the reports were received, and so it really wasn't a performance measure for the board. We've also added the two standard customer service measures.
Right. If the committee would like to take just a minute, look through. If you have any questions on any of these performance measures, now would be the time.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve FLO recommendations for the performance measures as amended.
President Wisenant moves that LFO recommendations relating to performance measures be added as an amendment to House Bill 5110. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so amended. And we're ready for a final motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that HB 5110 be amended and reported out as due pass with a reported out due pass as amended.
President Wisenant moves that House Bill 5110 as amended be passed out of subcommittee to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Hannah?
Yes.
Representative Wisenant?
Yes.
Chair Richardson?
Yes. House Bill 5110 has been passed out of subcommittee. We now conclude this work session on House Bill 5110. Oh, and
Hannah Hansen.
Representative Hansen.
Franklin.
Your carrier.
Thank you.
All right. We will now open a work session on 5111. Okay, we now are convening a work session on House Bill 5111, the Insurance Pool Governing Board. Mr. John Britton is our fiscal office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'd like to pass out to you.
Sure. Are you okay?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to pass out. There have been times, but not today, I hope. No, I wanted to
That's pretty quick.
You can't even have coffee. You don't drink coffee.
Oh, jeez. It's going to be one of those days, huh?
I'd like to pass out.
All right. This is what I passed out is the memorandum for the Insurance Pool Governing Board. And if you turn to the second page, which is a spreadsheet showing the adjustments to the governor's recommended budget, I'll review those with you, and then we can go on, if you wish, to performance measurements. On the top line is the governor's recommended budget of about $81.5 million, 52 positions, 51.5 FTE. You'll notice that this is divided into three different kinds of fund types, and this goes along with the bill as it is currently structured. First is general fund, $26.9 million, other funds of $125,000, and finally a different category of other funds which represent federal funds that come from the Department of Human Services. They are Medicaid and CHIP dollars, but because they come from the Department of Human Services, they are spent in this budget as other funds. But we wanted to be able to track those and know how much was in the bill and how much is in the budget that relates to those other fund revenues. The first two lines, lines 1 and 2, will be in package 801 within the Orbitz system, and they show the PERS adjustment and Attorney General, Department of Justice adjustments to coincide with the rates that have been used in those budgets. The third line is a services and supply reduction. It's general fund only, and this is within the information, education, and outreach budget. There are two budget structures within the Insurance Pool Governing Board. One is the information, education, and outreach, and the other is the FEOP, the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program. The insurance or the information, education, and outreach budget does not have, you'll note, other funds from the Department of Human Services, so this reduction of services and supplies of just about $102,000 does not reduce the federal match. There is no federal match for those funds. Line 4 shows a fund shift within the FEOP program using other funds revenue, and these are such things as reimbursement from OMIP, the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool, and also some interest charges. When I went to talk with the agency last Friday, they showed me their cash balances of other fund revenues, and there was some available to be used as a replacement for general fund. Line 5 shows the addition of tobacco settlement carryover. This is money that was originally budgeted, if I recall correctly, in 2001-03. And it has not been spent and is consequently available to be used to meet the maintenance of effort requirement within the FEOP program, but it does need to be essentially removed from the 03-05 budget and carried over into the next biennial budget for 05-07. So line 5 adds some other funds to the FEOP program. These are not federal dollars, again, they are tobacco settlement dollars that were originally budgeted in 01-03. Line 6 is to add other funds, and I put in parenthesis again, federal funds earned within the current biennium, 03-05, but not yet received to 2005-07. So this is cash, federal funds, that the agency will receive next biennium, and they need limitation to be able to spend those dollars. So we're moving those, again, into the FEOP program budget. They represent federal funds that are coming from the Department of Human Services.
For what?
For subsidies that were already paid.
Okay.
That is to say, we've spent the general fund, and there's federal match that is owed to the state of Oregon from the federal government. We will use that in the 05-07 budget. Line 7 is to lower...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Britton.
Mr. Britton, is that a normal practice? Does that happen in this area, I guess?
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, that's an excellent question. Typically, that is not what we're doing. Because within the Department of Human Services, the reimbursement time is pretty quick, I think. And it is certainly quick from the federal government. That is, when we submit a claim for Medicaid or for CHIP, we get that claim paid pretty quickly. So this is a little unusual that we're moving it into the next biennium. Part of the reason we're doing it, in fact, one of the main reasons we are doing that, is that we wanted instead, because the alternative to this is we could have made this claim immediately, received the federal dollars, but then we would be short in terms of a general fund expenditure. And they would revert $1 million of general fund, and we would have to reappropriate it for the reason that they have to reach a maintenance of effort requirement. And that's really the key driver of this budget, is this maintenance of effort requirement. So what we're trying to do here, although that's somewhat of a complicated explanation, is to simplify things by spending the general fund in the current biennium using the reimbursed federal funds in the next biennium to avoid a reversion and a reappropriation of general fund.
Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
I'm trying to learn some of these terminologies. What's CHIPS?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett. CHIP is the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Okay, and FHIAP is Family Health Insurance
Assistance Program, FEOP. That's right.
Thank you.
Line 7 shows a reduction in subsidy general fund and federal or other funds limitation associated with subsidies. When the agency and I reviewed their budget standing, what showed on their tracker of to reach their maintenance of effort was the fact that they anticipated being, given the governor's budget, about $500,000 more than what their target or their track to get to their maintenance of effort requirement was. So I'm aggressively, I would say, taking about $271,000 out of that balance just as a reduction. This leaves them with about $250,000 to the good, or padding, if you will. They have another 4 months within the 07-09 biennium to reach their maintenance of effort requirement. I would caution the subcommittee, however, that this is screwing them down pretty tight, because we want them to be able to spend their maintenance of effort dollars to to reach their maintenance of effort. This gives them a little bit of cushion within the next biennium to go a little bit beyond that, about $250,000. This also means that we could, in the following biennium, for the first 4 months, spend about $250,000 less than we otherwise would. So this isn't, to reach the maintenance of effort requirement is not an exact science. Rocky, I'm sure, will do the best he can do to get us there, but we want to give a little bit of leeway here. So this provides some cushion for doing that. But not a lot. Finally, on line 8, this trues up, if you will, the other funds, federal funds, from the Department of Human Services to reach the anticipated level of expenditures or federal reimbursement that we expect to be receiving. Now, again, this is a mix of Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program funding. As some of you know, the CHIP match rate is quite good. It's about 72-73%. When the budget was originally being constructed, there was the thought that I think both that the overall match rates for both Medicaid and for CHIP were not as good, and so this corrects for the match rate. And I think it also may be saying that we expect a little more CHIP money to be spent as opposed to Medicaid. So it shifts more expenditure toward a better match rate. So that is the reason for the additional other funds limitation of $11 million on line 8. When you add all of these and subtract all of these, you get the proposed LFO recommended budget on line 9 for the Insurance Pool Governing Board, about $93.9 million total funds. We have not recommended any position or FTE changes. This represents, on line 10, as you can see, about a reduction in general fund of about $591,000, or about 2.2%. The other funds and the other funds from the Department of Human Services have increased significantly, an overall increase of about $12.5 million total funds.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Britton, earlier when we talked about FEOP in the 03-05, I thought we talked about $6 million in unspent FEOP dollars. Does that end up in this line 8? Is that part of the $11 million?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hannah, there has always been concern within the FEOP program of the ability to spend all that was budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote this was back in, I want to say, mid-December. The agency has updated its anticipated expenditures for the current biennium and would revert, for example, that $1 million that we talked about on line 6. It would otherwise be general fund that would revert. We've tried to clear that problem up, along with line 5, the just about $1.4 million of tobacco settlement. So those in effect represent the unspent money at this point in time, about 2.5, and they've been able to spend to ramp up, if you will,
sell more insurance.
Yes,
in effect.
That's
right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Britton, can you please tell me? Appears that the House budget is $200,000 more than the Senate. Where is that in the your? And are we still? Is this? I'm trying to reflect here because we don't have. All I know is that the governor, I guess, upped it $10 million, and the chair has agreed with that $10.7 million.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wisnett, The governor did increase the budget significantly, and that's reflected in his budget to meet the maintenance of effort requirement. The House budget called for a $300,000 reduction in general fund, and in fact, we were able to find more to be taken, so we've increased that reduction to about $600,000, the $591,000. The Senate, as I understand it, has a budget for the Insurance Pool Governing Board of about $1 million reduction in general fund. So we're about $400,000 apart.
So we're
Senate has a greater reduction.
House is $600,000 and the Senate is $1 million.
That's correct. Lower than the governor's budget in terms of general fund.
Thank you.
Other questions? Do you want us to have a motion to amend at this point, or do you want to continue?
Yeah, we could go ahead and amend the conceptual amendments. And mine are a lot messier. They're on the last page. What I did here was just simply take this is on.
Did you have a question?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, a question. I was going to reserve it until after we talked, walked through the performance measures, but I think the big questions that I have, and they're more global than just specific dollar amounts, but it hinges on what are our alternatives with the waiver. And we heard this in public testimony. There were people speaking from the community that were saying there were other options with the waiver in terms of proposing to the federal government that if we spent money in the Oregon Health Plan or maintenance of effort of still putting money into providing health care for people,
right,
that there would be other ways that we could address the maintenance of effort. And I don't think we're going to get the answers to that at this point. But I am troubled by the fact that the need to maintain the maintenance of effort on this program has been like a train.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have the same type of maintenance of effort issues in alcohol and drug treatment. And those seem to be addressed much more casually. And I'm thinking, what's the difference? If to maintain programs in maintenance of effort, we're willing to spend this amount of general fund, that certainly we should be doing the same effort in alcohol and drug treatment. The other one is when we look at a total of $93 million. And I hope by through the interim we need to address where are we getting the most bang for the buck in terms of the most coverage for Oregonians. Is it $93 million spent through this program, total funds, or if that was through the Oregon Health Plan, where would we get the most coverage at the best dollars? And those will be questions I think that we can resolve later, but they're very, I think they're important.
I think the timing is right to bring that up now, because there's people that may be listening in that, and there's been a lot of work on this since we had those public hearings behind the scenes, and so we do need to get this out.
And they're probably, and this, I don't think, although this is moving things very much forward, they're not totally cut in stone. That there will still be modifications before we complete our work. And then the final one, but I think we will get to that on the performance measures, is the administrative cost.
Ms. Trenton, you want to just give a brief history of
sure,
why we have to have this kind of money here and
sure,
what the options are?
First of all, Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I think your question about why is this maintenance of effort important and apparently the alcohol and drug and mental health maintenance of efforts taken somewhat more casually, I don't have a good answer for that at all. I think it's a fair observation. This is obviously linked to the OHP2 waivers, which are very significant in the minds of many. But I think it's something with respect to the A and D and mental health maintenance of effort requirements for those block grants, those federal block grants, important to look at when we consider the Department of Human Services budget. By the same token, those dollar amounts, while they are important, are not nearly as great as what is at risk with respect not just to the Insurance Pool Governing Board budget, but the overall Medicaid program. Just an observation, but I can't argue with you at all. I think that's a fair observation. We did take that public testimony seriously about this maintenance of effort requirement. I've looked at the waiver. Others have looked at it. I think you, Mr. Chair, read this section, and it's a public document. There's no hiding it. That it's pretty clear. Would you like me to read it or
no?
Okay.
No.
I can give it to you, Representative Hansen. You can look at it, but it does make the linkage, I think, pretty clear between FEOP and the maintenance of effort. Having said that, there are options, and we can always approach the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services with another alternative aside from spending maintenance of effort in this budget. One might be to say we'd like it to be spent in OHP standard or in the CHIP program within the Department of Human Services. That's not reflected in this LFO proposed budget. To do that kind of a thing is a relatively simple matter in terms of the budget. We would establish a special purpose appropriation to the emergency fund, for example, of $8, $9, $10 million general fund. It would need to be allocated by, at the latest, I would think, this November, and we would approach CMS with that particular proposal and put on a full court press and try and find out from them, get a decision one way or the other about this maintenance of effort requirement. It is not a clear-cut thing, however, just simply to move the money to the Department of Human Services, spend it, and then go after the fact to CMS saying, well, doesn't this qualify for maintenance of effort, and have them tell us no. That is not a good strategy to pursue. So my recommendation to the legislature would be to be very clear with CMS on what we are doing to meet that maintenance of effort requirement. But it is not. That option is not reflected in this particular budget.
I'd like to just see if I have something down correct. My understanding is that when the recent waivers for the Oregon Health Plan Plus or 2 were obtained, there was an aspect relating to FEA, and that we had like 5 years in order to make sure that we had this maintenance of effort, but because of the recession and budgetary constraints in the last two biennium, that amount was not provided. They're only a very low amount. And so what it did is force the vast majority of it, $23 million, is my recollection, that had to be completed within this next biennium. And so they stick it all in now, which with the match puts FEOP with this huge amount of money. And I, as recently as earlier today, talked with Mr. King about the reality that if that money stays in there, he's got this huge dilemma in that he has all this money to do good with and spend, except that in 2 years, the chances of maintaining this at this level are somewhat slim. And so it is a real dilemma, but because of the lack of authority to make the change, it was determined we go forward with what we have, and then if there can be an adjustment, if CMS will allow there to be a lessening of the maintenance effort in this area, then possibly that could be moved, but that we have no authority to do that at this point. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've made your financial recommendations. We could take a motion to amend as of this point. Then we can go into our performance measures.
That would be fine, Mr. Chair. I would point out on the last page of this stapled packet, what I've done here for simplicity's sake, is to take the Senate Bill 5516, which includes the governor's budget for the insurance pool governing board, and hand engross it with the numbers that come off of the worksheet that I showed you a moment ago. Section 1, the general fund, is 26,315,139. Section 2, the amount of other funds, which are non-DHS funds, $1,770,925. Section 3, line 13, the DHS transfer money, $65,849,523. And this would be an amendment to House Bill 5111.
Hannah, Chair would take a motion.
Okay, so I'd make a motion that House Bill 5111 be approved and move forward as amended.
Okay, Representative Hannah has moved that House Bill 5111 be amended with the LFO recommendations as described. Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, is there any objection? If not, so amended.
Mr. Chair and members, the third page in this packet shows the insurance pool governing board performance measurements, and they have currently six performance measures. They're listed. However, two of those are being modified, or a request to being modified. The first two, and they are also adding three more, which you can see the status of the key performance measures are over on the right-hand side. So four remain the same, two are being modified, and then three are being added for a total of nine.
All right. Why don't we take a minute, look through these. It may not be something that the committee wants to spend a lot of time on since we discussed before, but if there's any that you would like to bring up, now's the time. Excuse me.
Mr. Brevin, just a quick question on goal number one. If we meet the target, will that mean that we basically got to the point of spending the $93 million if we enrolled enough people into the program to reach our goals on the maintenance of effort?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, it might. I think it is a contributing it's a contributing factor. It depends. These are referrals made to insurance agents. And the goal, or one of the goals of the insurance or the information, education, and outreach program, is certainly to augment the marketing efforts for the FIOP program. So if a referral turns into signing a group up, absolutely it helps us reach the $93 million. If not, not particularly.
I guess the same question also applies to the 17,002 enrolled Oregonians. Will that get us to where we need to be?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I believe it will.
Yeah.
Just a comment. I want to comment, first of all, Representative Hansen anticipated a question or some comments on the administrative expenses as a percentage of total cost. The target is at 10%. However, with these budget changes that we're recommending, they should be under that target. And that's, in this particular instance, a good thing. Lower administrative cost as a percentage of total cost is a better way to go in terms of their measures. So they should come in lower than 10%. Likewise, on the one here, it's would be the second from the bottom, a new one. The number of businesses who purchase an IPGB certified plan, As some of you will recall from the public hearings we've had on this, there are two certified plans that were developed by the IPGB, one involving a fairly low-cost group insurance product, and the other a children's only insurance product. And I would caution you all that the certified plans, the efforts to market those and to push those along may be a little bit lower with these budget reductions, particularly the one to the information, education, and outreach. We cut about $101,000 of general fund. So this target may be reachable, but this is a little more questionable.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Whitnett, wasn't it?
Thank you. Good morning. That wasn't meant to be humorous. The name.
Yeah. Please continue.
Missed his attempt at humor this one. I'm the new guy, so I'm not going to. I'd just like to make some comments, no recommendations, but all these performance measures except 6 and 7 appear just to be numbers. I mean, number 2, if you look at that, how good was the training? You know, what was, if they attended the training and became better, you know, people or agents or whatever, it's just a lot of recording numbers of, you know, we've, some of the other agencies I participated in, we talk about letting them keep those internal as for their own management, but as far as performance measures, they're pretty weak, is my comment. With no recommendations.
I understand. This is actually kind of a unique situation in that their goal is to go out and sign up people to buy insurance.
Well, Mr. Chair, then I would say, you know, how many did you, what was your increase over last year's enrollment or whatever, or something? But just the numbers by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other comments? We would actually entertain a motion then to accept the changes in performance measures.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion that the performance measures as modified be accepted.
Representative Hanna has moved that House Bill 5111 be amended to accept the performance measures with the modifications and additions changes as explained by LFO. Is there any discussion? Any objection? The amendment passes. Is there any further comment? Mr. Britton, before we
no,
have
Mr.
Final,
Chair.
Okay, I would entertain a final motion then for the acceptance of the House Bill 5111 as amended.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that House Bill 5111 as amended move forward.
Okay. Representative Hanna moved that House Bill 5111 as amended be accepted and passed to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. We could have a roll.
Could I speak to the motion?
Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be supporting the motion. And the main reason is I'm not inclined to play Russian roulette with the maintenance of effort issue. I think there may have been some other avenues, but at this point in the game, there's no certainty that we could be making the changes. Unfortunately, with the peak that we're driving into it, I'm very concerned about developing coverage for a lot of Oregonians to maintain the maintenance of effort and then not having the funding available 2 years from now. And I think this is strategically one of the poorest things that the state of Oregon has handled in a long time is the strategic terms of how we cut money over a couple of years. We're putting a big injection now. We're not sure where we're going in the future. We don't have a lot of the comparative data that probably we need because of just the timing on how we're having to fund it. It would have been a lot better if we could have done this in a slow building way that could have asking, and this isn't a reflection on whether the program is good or bad. It's just strategically we haven't done a very good job with this over a period of multiple budgets. So, but all that being said, I still don't want to play Russian roulette with maintenance of effort, so I'll be supporting the motion.
As a chair, I can add that my sentiments are exactly in harmony with those that have been expressed, and that we shouldn't just wait till the end of the next biennium to determine whether or not we're unable to spend it, that, you know, just what's going to be done, and I'm sure that LFO will be watching that, and that the budget reports will indicate that there is concern on that there needs to be ongoing vigilance during the next biennium on this program and the utilization of the money, with the governor's staff should be, in my opinion, this governor's staff should be leading the way as to determining whether or not all of this maintenance of effort should remain in this program, or should there be a request for a waiver change, which would free up some of it during the next biennium. Further discussion? Can you call the roll, please?
Representative Hanna?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Wisnett?
Yes.
Chair Richardson?
Yes. House Bill 5111 has been moved out of subcommittee to the full House Special Committee on Budget. And Representative Hanna, would you carry?
Yes.
All right, that ends work session on House Bill 5111, and we will begin a work session on House Bill 5112, State Commission on Children and Family. Good morning, Ms. Baker.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 5112 is the proposed replacement vehicle for the State Commission on Children and Families budget. You should have received memos yesterday afternoon covering our recommendations, and I'll just walk through those with you. Our recommendation is that you adopt the budget as the governor proposed, with changes as noted there in the memo, which include the technical changes for the PERS adjustments and the Attorney General rate changes, and then the additional 3% general fund reduction in services and supplies and capital outlay as called for in the House budget, and those total $76,033 general fund. Our recommendation would include approval of the packages for the Juvenile Crime Prevention Grants transfer, the Community Schools Initiative position, the replacement of a couple of limited duration positions with permanent positions in the agency operations package, and then those adjustments as noted. I will remind you that the governor's budget and our recommendation anticipates that House Bill 3029, which transfers those juvenile crime prevention grants, the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee and related responsibilities from the Criminal Justice Commission to this commission. That's anticipated in this budget. Right now, that bill has passed the initial House committee and is in full Ways and Means, and it's our understanding that the bill will be pulled out of full Ways and Means and re-referred to the House Budget Committee to deal with. So we're anticipating that that bill will be moving and that transfer will be made. Even if the bill doesn't move, I will note that in terms of the budget, there is a mechanism that would allow the State Commission on Children and Families to spend those funds, and that would be an interagency agreement with the Criminal Justice Commission. But again, we do think that that bill will be moving forward.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Baker, I guess Mrs. Lansing, do we have any indication of the Senate's reception to this bill, any resistance or anything?
Mr. Chair, I will say the issue, and Representative Wisnett, the issue was discussed some both in this joint committee and then in the joint subcommittee on public safety, and there didn't appear to be an adverse reaction to the transfer from either of those groups. So reflecting with the Senate members on those subcommittees.
Follow up, I guess.
Follow up.
Sure. About Senator Schrader.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, the Senate budget continues, I guess, or assumes the transfer as well. It reduces the funding amount connected to the general fund side of the juvenile crime prevention grants, but it does not make the transfer.
It makes it to a different agency. The Senate budget still on the table does that.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, the Senate budget, as I understand it in its current form, does include the transfer of the juvenile crime prevention monies to the Commission on Families. It just reduces the amount, as well as reducing the amount overall for the Commission.
Thank you.
Okay. And so what we've attached as the conceptual amendments would be the budget changes that would be reflected with our recommendations.
Which are on the back?
Which are, yes, towards the back, the next to last page of your memo, in front of the performance measures. Sorry. House Bill 5112, conceptual amendments.
Okay. Having reviewed the LFO conceptual amendments relating to the Commission on Children and Family, we would like to propose that there be one conceptual amendment in that $350,000 of additional revenue be allocated to the relief nurseries and have the record reflect that the goal in doing that is to help enable two of the relief nurseries that are either in their infancy or about to begin that are prepared to press forward to have sufficient funds to begin their operations. So actually at this point we could take a motion to accept the amendments with the additional conceptual amendment of $350,000, and then it'll be open for discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Wisnett.
I move that we amend the conceptual amendments for 5112 to add Section 5, which would add $350,000 to the Commission on Children and Families for startup of the Albany Relief Nursery and the Medford Relief Nursery.
First, Mr. Chair.
Is there an amendment on the wording, or is there?
There's a suggestion on the wording. What I would suggest is that you just add the $350,000 to Section 1 rather than making it a separate appropriation line, and then the budget report can reflect the direction in terms of how that would be expended.
Thank you.
So that in Section 1, then the $49,661,931 in our recommendation would go to $50,011,931. That's the additional $350,000.
What's the amount? What's the number? 50?
$50,011,931.
Okay. Mr. Chair, question for Mrs. Baker. Then do we need to still put the word in there? We want that directed towards that purpose?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, we can reflect that in the budget report, and the agency will take that to heart.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I remove my motion and offer an alternative.
Okay. New motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I recommend that we amend Section 1 of the conceptual amendments for 5112 to state the amount of $50,011,931.
Okay. Representative Wisnett has moved that House Bill 5112 be amended to accept the LFO recommendations with the one provision that Section 1 have as its amount $50,011,931. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure exactly how this language is going to come about, but I would hope we get some input from the agency itself. It was my understanding that $250,000 is restoring the funding level, and $100,000 of that is for the new startup, but I think we're going to have to get some clarification on that.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. Well, let's take the amendment as it's given, which merely increases this amount at this point,
mm-hmm.
and then we will get clarification on that. We certainly want to assure that these two facilities are open, but also that the rest of the program is not hurt.
Right.
Okay. Other discussion? All right. Is there objection to this amendment? If not, seeing none, the amendment is carried. We can now move to bonus speaker. Oh. Well, maybe that would be appropriate. Maybe that would be appropriate. We could have him come. We'd like to have representatives of the Commissioner on Children and Family come forward, Mickey Lansing and whoever else you'd like to come with you, and if you could discuss with us whether or not the two aspects of this issue can be harmonized and resolved.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mickey Lansing, the director of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. As I understand this amendment, it is $350,000 for the startup of two new relief nurseries.
There's a concern about...
Right. There still is a $250,000 reduction to the current relief nursery program.
What effect will that have on the ability of the relief nurseries to continue, and are there other resources that can be used as backfill or to help lessen the impact if we only have $350,000 but we'd like it to go to all three of those areas?
Mr. Chair, what I'd like to suggest to have happen is if Doug Barber could come forward, who represents the relief nurseries. I know that they have been in conversation about this very issue, certainly, and they have known that the $250,000 is a reduction in the governor's budget. They also, at the same time, have been advocating for having additional dollars for the two relief nurseries. So if that's possible, for Doug to come forward.
Chair Richardson, members of the committee, Doug Barber here on behalf of the relief nurseries today. In response to your question about what would happen if that $250,000 cut was continued for the existing nurseries, all of the existing nurseries have waiting lists of families who either have been referred to the nurseries or have self-referred them, you know, to the nurseries. If the $250,000 cut were to continue, those waiting lists would grow.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
President Hanna.
Mr. Barber, to the point of if we're adding back the $250,000 to make the relief nursery budget whole, what would you do with the $100,000 towards helping upstart facilities in Medford and Albany?
There would have to be, Chair Richardson, Representative Hanna, there would have to be some discussions about how best to use that money. The Albany Relief Nursery opened its doors in February after raising $90,000 of local funds, and they figured that was enough to get them through 6 months or 8 months or however long they can stretch it. The Medford Nursery is in the process of raising funds right now with plans to open their doors in September. Our estimates were that it would cost about $250,000 for the Albany Nursery to actually keep its doors open, $250,000 in state funds plus the money that they would raise locally, which I think would be in the, you know, $100,000 range. To keep their doors open over the next biennium, and for the Medford Nursery, our estimate was about $175,000 in state funds, which they would then match with at least 25% local cash match. I actually think they will raise considerably more than that to get that program going. So if there was only $100,000 in state funds available for those two nurseries, I don't know how that would get divided.
We have a problem. The problem is that in the discussions with Representative Scott, the position that I was taking with him is that if we could raise $350,000, it would allow two new relief nurseries to get started. And if that took place, that gives them the foundation to go and raise more locally. And I believe that that is the case. If the money merely goes to restore, then that $100,000 does not allow, it doesn't go far enough to do that. And while it would be advantageous for the program to be healthier, it would deprive the children of these other two locations. And I really think that that there's a benefit in having the two new locations functioning, even though they may be in the startup phase, because it allows them to try and magnify contributions from a local level. And I'm not sure how that affects the rest of the program as far as the restoring of the funding. I don't know if there's other avenues within Children's Commission on Children and Families that can assist with that, or if there's other fundraising that can take place or payback from Medford and Linn County in as they raise money that they can help the system. Those would be kind of internal issues that we'd leave to you. But
sure,
to make clear, that's what was the intention.
Chair Richardson, I think you're absolutely right that it is critically important, given the community efforts in Albany and Medford, to get those programs up and started, that they receive some state funding this time to get them going and get them established. That is a huge piece, and it's a huge piece for the Relief Nursery Network and for the connection that those nurseries have with the Commission on Children and Families and the Healthy Start programs in those communities and everything else. The $250,000 that we were seeking for the existing nurseries, we know would be put to good use. Those nurseries are, I mean, this biennium they raised $7 million to keep those programs. They raise a huge amount of money. They're also working at the federal level to try to find ways to raise money. And that effort does not cease. The $250,000, I mean, we'll keep working to try to find another $250,000 to put into those nurseries. But I think you're right that funding those new programs is key.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would like a clarification of how much the Commission on Children and Families, we were giving a page or piece of paper that looked like $3,275,000. And are we saying that, is that short the 250 to bring them back to the level they were at in 2003-2005? Or what's the amount of money that's budgeted now for the existing relief nurseries minus the 250 you're saying to get them back to where they were?
Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, the 2003-2005 appropriation is 3.275. The governor's recommended budget is 3.066. That's the $250,000 the difference that we were trying to get back to the to the funding level that we were at for in the current biennium, the 3.275, and then also fund those new nurseries.
Further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my calculations are they're $209,000 short of what they were in last year.
That's
not $250,000.
Right.
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, the $250,000 is the reduction from what we call current service levels, so the 2003-2005 budget plus inflation. and it's 250,000 below that number.
Yeah.
But yes, it is not 250,000 below what they got in 03-05.
Mr. Chair, follow up, please.
Follow up.
I think, Mr. Chair, my comments, and I have some experience with the relief nursery in Bend, is that definitely we want to expand this to other communities, and we want to be sure that we expand it and they succeed. However, we don't want to lose something that we have going and don't want to make it unbearable for those facilities to fail. If they fail, then that's not going to set the example for the rest of the state that we want to do. So my statement is that we do not want to have those existing nurseries fail. We don't want that list to get longer. We don't want it to get bigger. They're there. And that would be my priority, but we also want to expand this service. It's a great service to our communities, and we need to expand it. But if we let those that are there existing fail, then we're not going to help the future.
Nobody's asking that. Is there a likelihood that the relief nurseries are going to fail, and if there was no change in the funding?
Chair Richardson, Representative Wisnett, no, I do not believe that any of the existing nurseries will fail. I think what the dynamic right now is that you have some smaller nurseries, the Bend Nursery in particular, the Cottage Grove Nursery, the Roseburg Nursery, that are growing and growing pretty rapidly. There's a new nursery in North Portland that's growing very rapidly. And it's a, I think, both a reflection of the demand for services with these really high-risk families and the community support in these communities. I think it's that combination that you're seeing reflected in the growth rate in some of these nurseries. The Cottage Grove Nursery just added a whole new wing. The Portland Nursery just opened new classrooms. The Bend Nursery has almost doubled, I think, in the last two-year period in terms of the number of families it's seeing. I don't think they'll fail. I think the question is how much of the need that is pushing at their doors can they serve.
In discussing this with Co-Chair Scott, again, the idea was that if we can get two more going, then that gives them the foundation that they can leverage local community involvement like we've seen in Bend and in Roseburg and in North Portland. But we want to make sure that we're not going to cause any to close up, but we do want to give seed money to further the success because it's needed in every community.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Barber, the request earlier on for the funds for the New Albany relief were $250 and the Medford $175. So really, we'd be $75 short of that. Can you get those facilities open with the $350? I mean, we know one of them's open already and operating, but can you use that money and get those facilities up and going? And does that really give them the leverage to go out among the community and raise the additional funds to get it done?
Chair Richardson, Representative Hanna, the $350 certainly gets us a long way there. They're going to have each of those nurseries would have to look at their own budgets and figure out, you know, what would they need to scale back or not, not do as quickly as they would have done otherwise. I mean, our goal was to try to get the Albany Nursery funded as of July 1 and get them really ramping up. The reason for the lower figure for Medford was the idea that funding would start in January of 06. Whether those get delayed a month or two or whether it's simply a slightly smaller grant per month that would go to those nurseries, we would have to work out those details with the commission.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Then, given this discussion and the discussion that, Mr. Chair, you've had with the co-chair, it would be my recommendation then that this additional funding go towards the startup facilities rather than filling the budget hole, so to speak.
Thank you. I agree with that. I think that that will help further the spread for relief nurseries and examples that they can set for each of the communities. Is there further discussion on that? Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I won't belabor this point. I think whether we're spending the dollars in Albany and in Medford or whether they're spread out over the state, both are good things to happen, and I concur with however the budget note or amendment works. The thing, though, that's hit me through this discussion, and as we look at the total overall budget for all of the nurseries on 03-05, it looked like the total budget was about $10 million between the state support and what was raised locally. Shifting another $250,000 of additional, although I know groups work incredibly hard and maybe there's a limit, but these, you seem to be very successful at your ability to leverage and raise money, so my assumption is that you can pick up the $250,000 with the Barbara Roberts could do that on her own. She's very persuasive. But
I'll let her know next time I see her.
We're still dealing basically with chump change in comparison to what I think are the dollars that are being saved in the DHS budget on foster care. And what would be incredibly helpful between now and the next session would be the more documentation we could get in terms of what are the real system savings that release nurseries are providing for us.
Performance-based.
And at that point, I think it'd be very easy to convince the legislature that to open the purse that these are very cost-effective dollars where we can actually be able to see some savings in foster care. And that, I know sometimes it's real difficult to make those type of correlations, but any, through your best practices work and any type of measurement that could get us to that point, I think would be real helpful. Intuitively, I've got no problems in terms of making that leap, but if we could see it more than just intuitive, because this is just pennies in compared to what we're spending on foster care and the DHS budget.
Further discussion on the motion? Okay, just to review, the motion is from Representative Wisnant that the conceptual amendments proposed by LFO to House Bill 5112 be accepted with the change in Section 1 of an amount that now would read $50,011,931. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, 5111 is so amended. Performance measures?
Mr. Chair, now we'll review the performance measures for the agency. There are some suggested changes. There's a table that was in the materials that you received yesterday afternoon. Basically, to summarize the changes, the Measure 3 target on leverage funds during the presentation to the subcommittee and the discussion, it was suggested that that target could be increased because they had far exceeded previous targets, and so that's now been suggested to increase to $30 million, and that is about the same as they reported for the 2001-03 biennium. Since then, with the budget reductions, there may be some impact on that, but we wanted to keep the target high at $30 million. Measure 4 is added for the juvenile crime prevention program with the transfer of that program to this commission. And then there's the standardized customer service measure that Department of Administrative Services is developing. That's been added as well. During the discussion, you talked about the fact that some of the commission's measures, three of them in fact, only report biennially, or the data is evaluated biennially, and that when that's done at the close of the biennium and you don't see it until almost the start of the next biennium, much of that data is outdated. And so the commission is looking at the feasibility of collecting some interim information for measures 2, 3, and 4 so that they can supplement the biennial data. I think part of the problem is that the biennial data is how it's collected from the counties, and the counties work hard to make sure that data is right. Going in and doing some interim measure without a similar level of attention and review may get you a little bit less grounded information, if you will, but the commission is looking at how it might do that. And then measure 2 and 4 that relate to the outcomes for both the county programs and then the juvenile crime prevention programs. Those are pretty high-level measures in terms of they're saying statewide what percentage of these programs meet the targets that they've set. But it doesn't give you individual program data or county data in terms of who's meeting their targets and who's not. And so what the commission has proposed, well, they do in fact track that data on a lower level, both on a county basis and on a program basis. And what the commission has proposed is just to clarify that they have that information and that they will report it to the legislature, even though it's not a direct key performance measure that's reflected on this report. And so with all those changes and those caveats, we recommend that you approve the proposed performance measures as modified and with the additional ones that are proposed.
Representative, wasn't it?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that we approve the recommended performance measures as amended, or the performance measures as amended.
Representative, wasn't it moved that we amend House Bill 5112 as described relating to the performance measures by our LFO analysts? Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so amended.
Okay, next item would be the budget notes. There are two budget notes proposed for this commission. The first one reflects some of the discussion in the initial Joint Human Services Subcommittee regarding the Healthy Start program and making sure that those funds are used to get the most bang for the buck. And so this budget note encourages the commission to target state funds for the Healthy Start program for serving high-risk first birth families. And if a local program chooses to provide services to lower risk families, then the direction is that those services should be provided by either volunteers or using local funds. And the commission is also encouraged to adopt administrative rules to require a 25% local match, including a 5% cash match for the Healthy Start program. And that is similar to the requirement that's in statute now for the Relief Nursery program. And then the budget note directs that the commission come back to the next legislature and talk about how they've implemented those changes and what effect those changes have had on that Healthy Start program and outcomes.
Questions on the budget note?
Okay, the second budget note is a joint budget note, if you will, with Employment Department, Department of Human Services, and the Commission on Children and Families, asking that there be a review during the interim of the child care program, who does what, where the money goes, that kind of thing. It's been a while since a thorough review has been done at that program level, and so this would ask for that review and have the agencies report during the interim to the substantive committees and the Joint Legislative Audit Committee no later than fall of 2006. So basically, they'll have a little over a year after close the session to get that done and to come back in. And depending on what findings or recommendations may come forth, it may be appropriate to consider budgetary changes or statutory changes at that point. But we would want to get the information in time to be able to do that for the next session. So we would recommend those two budget notes for this agency.
Any discussion on the budget notes? Is that the conclusion of your presentation? Okay, the chair would entertain a final motion approving the budget notes and the final House Bill 5112 as amended to the full committee.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the recommended budget adjustments, performance measure, and budget notes and that we move House Bill 5112 as amended to the full House Special Committee on the Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnant moves that House Bill 5112 be amended with the amendments that have been passed thus far, plus budget notes being approved and amended into this House bill, and that it be moved to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Hanna?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Wisnant?
Yes.
Chair Richardson?
Yes. So House Bill 5112 has been approved and will go to the full committee, and we ask Representative Wisnant if he'll carry it. And at that, we'll close House Bill, a special work session on House Bill 5112. Are there other matters that this committee needs to consider today? If not, without objection, we are adjourned.